Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. On his journey to Jerusalem, Jesus passed along the borders of Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers came to meet him. Keeping their distance, they raised their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he responded, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." On their way there, they were cured. One of them, realizing that he had been cured, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself on his face at the feet of Jesus, and he spoke his praises. The man was a Samaritan. Jesus took the occasion to say, "Were not all 10 made whole? Where are the other 9? Was there no one to return and give thanks to God except this foreigner?" He said to the man, "Stand up and go your way. Your faith has been your salvation." The Gospel of all the Lord. By the gospel, huh? You like it? What do you like about it? Pardon? Yes. Forgiveness? Yes. Healing? What else? Pardon? Faith? Yes, all of them showed faith, huh? All 10 appear. Can you imagine what it must have been to have leprosy at that time? It was a death sentence. It really was. There was absolutely no cure whatsoever for it. So much so that it terrorized everybody else and they were cast into their own colony. What was it like to be taken from your family and totally ostracized and put with people in that way? There was such a fear and anxiety about leprosy and it was so despicable. We all hate nasty, right? You're not sure? Sure we do, we do. That's why we oftentimes pass by somebody who is sitting here on the side of the parameters. Because we hate that nasty. And our eyes can't stick with it for too long. It was particularly an issue in the time of Jesus. Leprosy would have driven people crazy. They'd run away, and the lepers themselves would run as well in the opposite direction. But there was a need in the area to set up regulations as to how they could approach. They had to cover themselves so that the sores wouldn't be visible. And then they had to ring a bell ahead of them and call out, "Unclean, unclean," as they approached into public areas. Must have been terrorizing. It was just headed toward death. There was no relief. And all of a sudden, they see a possibility in the Christ. They must have heard the stories. How did they come to that kind of faith in him? How do people come to that kind of faith? How do people make that kind of a decision to say, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me in my need." But they had it and they approached, and Jesus, totally unintimidated, it was customary for people just to scatter and go in the other direction, but Jesus stands his ground and says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." That was a very important piece because for somebody to have a healing, many people would claim a healing, but there had to be a certification that it really was a healing. And that was entrusted to the care of the church. The Pharisees, their leadership was responsible for certifying that yes, this person really had this ailment and now they are healed. For the crippled man or for the one with leprosy or the one who's blind or lame or anything else. And so they went and showed themselves to the priest, who in turn certified, yes, you have received the healing. Jesus sent them off because that was the law, and he was following the prescriptions of the local community. And so they walked to the priest to have it certified. What happened then? Well, before they even made it to the priest, it says, they realized they were healed. It's easy for us to evaluate it and say, well, you know, the nine, they kind of just blew it off and the one returned. But hey, the nine probably had a lot of issues going on as well. You know? Hey, one of them hit toward home right away because he knew his father was at home, his mother had died, and hey, he wanted to show himself to his father and help his father out. Right? Hey, another. His wife, you know, ran a little store, and hey, the store had fallen into disrepair. When he got there, man, he started working right away. He was so happy to be alive and well, and started helping her out. And another went home and gave hell to his family. He said, man, why in the heck did I have this disease to begin with, right? I mean, really, there had to be one of them, at least, right? I mean, why in the world do I have this darn disease anyway? God, why does God give it to me, right? True. And so he wasn't coming back to say, hey, thanks, really appreciate it. And Jesus is really pushing the envelope and saying, where are you? Really about gratitude. It's a word of gratitude. And some of them couldn't see beyond because they were so obsessed with themselves and what was happening to themselves. And some of them, hey, they were really engaged in their family. They went back home. A man took over and their family had a party for them. Hey, there were many good reasons for not turning up. It's a constant gospel thing. Remember? Because of again reason. How come they didn't show up? How come they weren't there? Well, he understood how busy and how engaging life is and how we are controlled by so much of life, and what is really urgent gets the attention. What's important doesn't get the attention. What's really important does not get the attention. What is urgent? The squeaky wheel, right, gets the oil. The old tradition, and Jesus was using this occasion to say, look at it carefully. It's a great Lucan theme. The one who comes back, darn it, the outsider. Not one of us, one Catholic, right? No, he was one of the other brothers and sisters. Great point. Because the point is, how in the world did we not get it? When we claim chosenness and relationship and claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, how come we don't get it? That's the struggle in life. How come we don't get it? Two people dying at the moment, both of them dying of cancer. One, a man, he is really angry about his situation and the person given out and drinking a lot. And is very distressed by the experience that he is in. The other, a lady, she is very adapted to the reality of saying, God is bringing me through all of this. And I'm coming to the ultimate fulfillment of life. How do these two people hold these perspectives? It doesn't come all of a sudden. It's a life process. How do I become indeed grateful? You know, I might reframe the question I was asking myself during the course of the week. How would I address that issue if I were the one with that terminal illness or disease? Where would I look? How would I respond with all of the knowledge or understanding of faith? Would I have faith? Or would I feel abandoned? What choice would I make? In terms of being responsive to, and the other question that comes into play is, you know, does it take such an event in the life of a person sometimes to really surrender and come to doubt? Wouldn't that be really tragic? But I could live so much of my life and I only come to really surrender to Him when, hey, I am hopelessly in this particular situation or this case. Maybe because I haven't known gratitude. It's really a parable about gratitude. And he was holding up this particular individual who remembered to turn back because that was the most important thing in his life, because it's very much like the other parables. Seek first the kingdom of God and then all these other things will be given you. And anybody who does not put me first, you know, puts mother, father, brother, sister, and all the other things, there will always be excuses. Let me bury my people first. Let me go and take care of this. Let me say goodbye to my family. And Jesus constantly loved the way of saying, hey, it's all important. You know? Forget the priority. It's all a gift. It's all something to celebrate. And that sickness as well. And that if God is bringing about my redemption in this manner, it's all grace. But I have the natural tendency to look only at what I think is good for me. And I think beyond that. Jesus was stretching the imagination of people, the hearers, the listeners, saying, be attentive to this. We heard yesterday in our retreat that for the astounding statement, David said, ultimately, 80% of our thinking is negative. But hey, it seems to be the default for us as human beings because we tend to go much more to what can't do it or can't be done or I don't have any more time or I don't. And then we sit down and the 20% of me think, hey, you know what? I really could do that. If I reoriented my thinking and my process, but there's a tendency to respond from the negative perspective to begin with. No, I can't. No, I don't want to. No, I don't feel it. Imagine how different it would be if we got up in the morning and said, yes, I can. Yes, I am going to do it. Here I come. He is going to give me what I need to do it. And he was holding up this man as an example, saying, hey, look at this one. And he's from outside of this realm that proclaims faith and celebrates this and says God is good and God is this. He's from outside of that circle. French proverb that says, memory is the heart's, yes, gratitude, that's it, is the heart's memory. Listen, gratitude is the heart's memory, keeps it alive. So Jesus is giving instruction. Remember Schindler's List, how many of you saw Schindler's List? Wow, wasn't that something? Story of Oskar Schindler, who was a German industrialist, right? And in Poland and in the Great Crisis, the SS, he saved more than 1,000 Polish Jews who worked in concentration camps. When the war was over and things were beginning to settle and the Germans moved out of Poland for the occupation and the Russians were going to move in, during that time period, Oscar Schindler decided he was also going to move. And the word went around among all of those whom he had saved and those to whom they attributed their lives to him, being saved to him. And so they decided we need to do something for him. We need to acknowledge his kindness and his goodness to us and show our gratitude. And all they could find was some metal, and they thought they would make a little something out of that until all of a sudden one liked the tin. The one in the tin, he came up and he said, "Hey, no, let's not use metal. So why don't we use this?" And he opened his mouth and showed the gold and the bridge, the gold in his mouth. And he said, "Use this." And they said, "No. And they tried to dissuade him, but there was no dissuading him. He said, "You know, if it weren't for him, for Oscar," he said, "this would be lying in a heap by the SS." And so they accepted it eventually, and they said, "Okay." And they had a dentist who survived, and he extracted the gold, and they had a jeweler who put it together and made the ring. And what did they put inside of the ring? From the Talmud, they put in a beautiful reflection. The one who saves a single life saves the entire world. The inside. He understood. Story in the gospel is about gratitude. How grateful am I? And the one thing that really tests gratitude and gratefulness is that illness. Would it be different if that illness in the gospel were cancer? Or if it were an aneurysm? Or if it were AIDS? Or if it were muscular dystrophy? This severe multiple sclerosis, would it be different? Probably not. Because it's an invitation through my circumstances. Realize all comes together in him. That's why I'm such an important parable. How grateful am I indeed? Would people know that? My life.